Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Chicago, it's no mystery that Chevy is your best bet for the unpredictable spring ahead. The snow and ice may be gone, but the spring plot thickens at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the true MO of SUVs. If you're thinking about taking all the twists and turns in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to see which one you can identify. And don't worry, they can't see you behind the glass. Need the power and durability of a Silverado, the all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer, the spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to solve the case like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest Chevy dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy. Together, let's drive.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
From 2400 Sports, Odyssey, and Major League Baseball, this is the PBP Voices of Baseball.
We bring you the people who bring you the game.
Hello, 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 baseball people. It is Matt Spiegel here with the PBP Voices of Baseball. So psyched for this episode. Want you to hear it. Make sure to tell a friend. It's our first time talking to an analyst, and it's Ron Coomer. He checks all the boxes as an analyst. But there's a reason we're talking to him for the PBP, which is about play-by-play. But the boxes he checks, look, a former Major League Baseball player at a very high level, was an all-star, a lifetime of experience in the game, growing up, staying in it as a broadcaster for decades, he has seen it all. A former Cub, so he can work for the Cubs with authority, but also he's been around. Dude was a twin with Kirby Puckett and Paul Molitor and more. He was a Yankee with Derek Jeter and Jorge Posada and more. He was a Dodger with Hideo Nomo and Adrian Beltre and more. So it's all of that. The stories are endless. He's a known commodity publicly. He's a garrulous personality. But here's the real reason he's a great fit for our first analyst, and the real reason he's just such an incredible partner. He's a kind and empathetic man. I've had incredible conversations with him off the air, in cars, back and forth from getting a chance to do games in Arizona. And it was a thrill to bring those conversations to the PBP. Here's Ron Coomer, the Cubs analyst, on being a partner to Pat Hughes and doing the job itself.
That's my pleasure, and I appreciate you having, you know, this is me being the first analyst. It's very nice of you to do, and, you know, I think these conversations about how and why are important. And then the conversation that you and I have had many times, as you say off the air, about being a partner and how that works in a baseball broadcast. And, you know, I'm very fortunate to have Pat as my partner. You and I have done many games now together. It's been a lot of fun, and you know, I think for young people that are trying to get into this business, it's a great podcast to be able to listen to the people that have really done it and done it at a real high level. And, you know, my partner, Pat, is the highest level you get. You can't go any higher than the Hall of Fame.
How do you see the roles delineated? How do you see the jobs separated?
One guy tells the what, and I tell the why. And the how. I think if you look at the broad, Pat follows the baseball. You know, this is pretty simplistic way of talking about it, but at the end of the day, the play-by-play guy follows the ball. The ball goes in the corner. The runner's rounding second, going to third. The ball's coming to third base, you know, and blah, blah, blah. He gets done in his way that, you know, is pretty unique and great. And then I fill in the gaps. And I fill in the, was the cutoff man in the right spot? Did he miss the cutoff man? Did this happen? Did that happen? Why did that happen? Did a guy hustle? Was that the reason? So I fill in the stuff that Pat can't, because you only got two eyes and you got to follow the baseball. And I think that's, you know, that's the simplistic way of talking about it. But I really believe that, you know, in that rhythm, it sounds very easy. As we all know, it is extremely difficult to do and do very well and make it exciting and do all of the things that you love about a great broadcaster. It's very difficult in the play-by-play part. And then you got to follow in with the piece that I bring. And then you got to do it quick because we got a pitch clock. So there's a lot of factors in there, but it's a great volley and a rhythm between partners.
It's the simplicity of it is essential, and it especially if you're a guy who's been around baseball. I mean, like I'll share this exchange that you and I had off the air. I think on a ride home from a game in Texas last spring. When I was, you know, because I think I know baseball stuff. I think I like to, you know, pick things apart. I think I can see things. And I remember saying, you know, like I want to talk about the play and then set you up to go further. And I remember you said, if you talk about the play, what am I supposed to do? And it just kind of stopped me cold. I was like, oh yeah, I'm doing too much. It's so easy as a play-by-play person to do too much. Pat sees the game. Pat knows the game. He probably has caught himself so many times wanting to say something and deciding not to, because that's your job, right?
That's correct. It is. That's my job as the analyst, as the ex-player. There are things that I'll see that other people won't, that haven't played a long time. But there's a lot of things that we both see together that you go, yeah, that's, I see it. You see it. We all, you know. Yeah. And how do you get that across? And I always want Pat to feel like he has, you know, he's been so gracious to me. I, you know, there's very few things that I could say I want him to be able to do. And if he has an opinion or an analytical thought on what's going on, he's been doing this for 40 years. Fire away. And if I don't agree with it, I'll say so. Or I'll give the reason. You know, the why, that you could do it that way, but there's a better way, you know, and that's it. I don't think either one of us in now 12 years of doing this together where we've said something where you made the other person upset ever in 12 years, which is pretty amazing, because there's a respect factor there of, you know, hey, you have an opinion? I have an opinion. Okay, next pitch. Here we go. You know, that's what
if I could go 12 minutes without upsetting my talk show partner.
That's why your talk show's good. It's entertaining, yeah.
but that's why it's a different animal. The respect factor is so incredibly obvious. Did you have to earn it for each other, like in a relationship sense? Was there a curve, you know, to get there?
It was a big curve in the broadcast side of trying to get yourself to where you weren't sitting next to a guy at the time I knew was going into the Hall of Fame. I mean, you knew that was going to be the case. Mm-hmm. So that was the issue. Knowing the game, I had broadcast for 10 years in Minnesota before I came to Chicago. So understanding how to get in and out and the rhythms of it, I was okay with. I hadn't done a lot of radio, but I've done some. But there is a factor where, you know, Pat's the voice of the Chicago Cubs. He was there when I played. He was there before me. He's been there after me playing. And I've listened to him 1,000 times when I was living in Minnesota and either playing or broadcasting in Minnesota. in my car going down the road, and him and the first Ron was there, and I would listen and laugh. And so we've been friends. So there is a curve, but he never made me feel like I wasn't warranted. He is the most gracious guy when it comes to being on the air that you'll ever meet. He told me the very first couple days I was broadcasting with the Cubs, I'll never forget this. He said, every day, we're going to do this for 3 hours, roughly every day, you and I together. He goes, every day, I want you to feel like you've said everything you want to say. And, you know, those moments where things hit you, I went, wow, okay. Because, you know, you hear the stories about, you know, the play-by-play going, okay, that's enough, let's go. Never one time in 12 years. And that statement to me hit me, and I went, okay, this is a partnership. This is a, you know, give and take, and let's be friends. Let's talk about the game. Let's, you know, and it has been.
Man, that's beautiful. So that's what a smart move by him to verbalize that. And obviously that's just in him as a person to feel that and to want that. But it helps you invest in a partnership. Cause I've noticed, Coombe, listening to you guys, you know, the incredible amount of times I've listened to you and then getting a chance to work with you, you're an unbelievable partner. It's like your ability to support and fill in a blank, and you can correct. I have felt it, and I hear it when you do it with Pat or with Zach, like with Zach Zaidman, where you're correcting, but you're really just augmenting in a way that continues the conversation and never makes anybody feel like they screwed up. Because that's the danger. If you feel like you screwed up and you go in the emotional tank, then all of a sudden you might not be your best for the next pitch, right?
Well, and there's so many, you know, our game is a long game every day. And I just don't think, I personally don't think it sounds good when you're stepping over each other, whether it be on a call of each other or stepping on somebody else's opinion because you don't agree with it. Now, sometimes my opinion might be, you know, because of my experience in the game, you know, I might have different thoughts on how a play was made that might differ from you or Zach or Pat, and I'll give the reason why. But having that conflict of discussion, I think there's a way of doing it where you can do it and creatively not do what you're saying and say, no, that's wrong. Because we got so much still to do. That's just one play in, you know, 400 pitches in a ball game. I mean, come on, you know. So, yeah, so that's the one thing I never liked listening to that. You know, you would never hear Vin Scully go, well, Rick, you know, that's not what we want. Yeah, you'd never hear that come out of Vin Scully. And I've always thought that when you listen to great broadcasters or Jack Buck, you know, some of the people that I've listened to that I just marveled at and a Pat Hughes, you never hear that I'm the guy, the trumping of someone else. And you never hear that from them. You don't hear that. There's something about it that is joining, you know?
Tell me a broadcaster or two from your youth that you used to listen to. It could be play by play, but I'm also curious if there's an analyst that you were like, oh man, that dude knows the game. Anything like that?
All play by play people, every one of them. It was, I shouldn't say that. The one person that I used to listen to and think, cause I knew he was a player and he would give managerial advice as the game was going on, was Lou Boudreau. But my guy as a kid was Jack Brickhouse. I would sit enthralled right in front of the TV, you know, TV right in front of you. And I'd listen and I'd stand for the national anthem and my dad would be shaking his head, you know, and I'm just a little dude, you know? And the Jack Brickhouse thing to me, he was, you know, the voice. He was WGN. He was listening to him in the car, listen to him and watch him on TV. And I couldn't get enough of Cubs baseball as a kid, as a little guy.
Well hit, deep to right, back, high, it's all over. Willie Smith just homered. The Cubs win the game. And look at the reception at home plate for Willie Smith.
And then, you know, as I get a little older, it was baseball. And then it was Cubs and Sox. And then you listen to Harry and Pearsall. and, you know, and Jack Rickhouse, and I just was like, it was the coolest thing ever. I did, you know, I was a pretty good little league player, as you'd probably guess, but I didn't know I would be able to hit at a level that, you know, keeps you in the game a long time. But I was enthralled by the broadcast thing that they were doing. I really was.
Wow, interesting. So did you picture yourself doing that ever, or was it just picturing yourself as a ball player? Oh no, you did. You did.
Oh yeah. I wanted to be a baseball player, but I even, you know, right from high school, I could broadcast the game as a joke, like, you know, and talk about the hey, hey, you know, and I still remember his, you know, as a little kid, remembering his home run call of Ernie Banks 500, you know, and all the little intricacies of how he called it. And that was before I ever thought I'd ever broadcast, you know, you're a kid watching baseball, you know, but I had a love of baseball that was, you know, it was probably weird to most people, you know, around my neighborhood. Baseball hat, glove on my hand, always a ball, and there was a bat close by, and probably a broken window from my grandparents' house somewhere along the line in a weekend, each weekend.
Amazing. I love that you did envision yourself as the broadcaster while also envisioning yourself as the player. You know, it's I wonder how unique it is. I mean, you're my first analyst. I'll find out, you know,
I'm going to guess it's not very unique.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess a lot of guys that play that are my age grew up living baseball because you're in your backyard playing somehow, some way, loving somebody that brought that to you. And then you going out and trying to do it. And then all of a sudden you figured out, wow, I'm pretty good at this thing here. You know, I might have a chance of doing this a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so you 10 years with the Twins. I know you did some pre and post on TV. Mm-hmm. And there, how many games were you doing games full time in Minnesota?
Not full time. I was doing usually anywhere between 25 and 40 games a year. You know, Bert Blylevin was the main TV analyst, and he got down to, you know, between 100 and 120 games before I came here. So Roy Smalley and I basically were splitting Bert's, you know, extra games. So I got a chance to do a lot of games, even though in a baseball schedule, that doesn't seem like a lot. In a football schedule, it'd be a full season, you know, so it's just the way it is. So I got a chance. I thought the best thing that ever happened to me, and I didn't know it at the time, was doing pre and post game, because it taught you, like your show that you do, it taught me rhythm of how to speak in a broadcast and get your point across, but have a timing thing where you can't just ramble, right? You gotta get it in, get it out, next, move on, you know, or someone else has their opinion. So you got, you know, 30 seconds or so, or 45 seconds to get your opinion in and move on.
Well, you know, back to that timing thing then with Pat, because there's a remarkable, I mean, you hear it and it just sounds so comfortable, but that must be learned as well. Like, when he finishes, is that when he keeps score? Is that when he writes stuff down when you're talking? How does it work in terms of that timing?
The play goes. Occasionally, I will pipe in if something really big is going to happen, or you'll see me, because you've been in our booth a lot, I'll point at something away from the baseball. Excuse me. And I'll point at something and I'll be like, hey, oh, and then, you know, it takes him away from the baseball, but that's really important. This guy fell down. He's going to be out. You might want to, this is something that's going to happen, you know, something like that, you know, crazy stuff, but there's a rhythm and he does it so well. And you listen and the run scores, the Cubs lead 3-2. Boom. You're in. Boom, yeah. Go. Yeah, and it's every time. And you listen, you know, 99% of the time, and there's that rhythm. And I know to jump in, and I can say what I need to say. I can watch the pitcher on the field or the play as the play is ending of some way, shape, or form, whether it be the umpire getting a ball to the pitcher toeing the rubber. I can see how much time I've got. And if it's a really big play, to hell with the next pitch. This is more important. Let's keep talking about this. And I get to make that decision. But if the ball's hit on that first pitch, I'm out, Pat's in. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's that. But it all depends on the you know, the importance of each play. You know, sometimes we'll miss a couple pitches and we're mid-story talking back and forth, and I'll say, or Pat will say, oh, the count's 2-2 now. You know, well, nothing really happened. You know, talking about something else or laughing hysterically because we're, you know, the game's 8-1 and there's stupid stuff going on. And there's that, you know. So, yeah, there is a rhythm and an understanding of what's happening on the field and the importance of that as opposed to what's going on in the booth. Because, you can't end in the middle of a story and leave all, you know, the people that are listening, you know, and they may not be there the next inning, you know.
Yeah, oh boy, that's crucial. That's your decision about whether to worry about that next pitch or not. And the way you describe that is key. And I mean, I know I've been there going like, but I got to do the pitch, man. I got to do the pitch. But that's not, it's radio. You're in control of time and space and telling people what happened, right? That's a difference in the medium that way.
100%. The younger the broadcaster in play-by-play, the more they feel they have to get every single pitch all the time. And then the longer somebody does this, you go, yeah, maybe not. We don't, you know, the first pitch slider in the dirt, ball one. It, and you keep the conversation going, or the count's 1-1 now to so-and-so, and we keep talking. And you keep going on because you want people to understand there's an overall theme of what needs to be said. Does that first pitch in the dirt after something big has happened matter as much as what just happened? That was got the whole city in a frenzy, right?
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Yeah. It's kind of, you know, yeah.
What's something that you can see from the booth in terms of the field below or whatever that the fans would really benefit from and for their understanding of the game? Like what do you get to see?
Things that I see that fans probably don't. Things with a pitcher that I recognize that they just don't see. Because, you know, I've been a hitter all my life, you know, so a guy making a move on the rubber, let's say, you know, and changing or his arm angle changing. And when he does that, how does it affect the pitch? Is he tipping his pitches? Right. Those are little things that I can see from my spot that most people can't. Well, that goes back to sitting in a dugout and hitting and playing and doing all those things for so long, you know, it's one of those things. You broadcasting a radio show, you've done it for a long time. Yeah. Nothing's going to surprise you. In a baseball field, if I'm looking down at the field, I'm like, the right fielder's out of place. Why is he over there? Now I'll focus over there because that's not right. You know, you just see things that come to you that, you know, most fans just, you know, they don't see that whole picture. And, you know, it's, if I went to their job, I wouldn't see the whole picture of what they do.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you know, that's just the way it is. Yeah.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Coom, is there a specific item you like to always have with you in the booth? Can be a good luck charm or a talisman or anything that absolutely has to be there for you to do the job.
To do the job, I don't know if it was a must. We always laugh. Pat tells a great story off the air that Bob Uecker had his own ways of doing things. We all know that. God bless Bob. And, you know, we miss him. And it's not going to be the same going to Milwaukee without him. But Bob came in, might have had a night the night before. Could be. You know, baseball players have been known to do that on occasion, like you singers and rock star people, you know. It might have happened. And he showed up and he goes, today we're going to do the game and we're not going to prep at all. We're just going to do the game. We can do this. And, you know, my partner, you know, the sparks might start shooting out and he's not, that's not him. He's got his list on the side of his scorebook of topics in case the game's 11-1. And, you know, he wrote them down and he writes them in different colors with the importance. And he is prepared.
Yes.
And you might have been more prepared the night before at like 2 a.m. than he was, you know. So they did the broadcast, and Bob said, just put all that stuff away. We're just doing the game. Here, you keep score. That's it. That's all we're doing.
Oh, I'm right? stressed out. I'm stressed out for Pat just hearing it. Yeah.
And he tells the story, and he goes, I got through the game, and it worked out just fine. And there wasn't a damn person out there that would have had any idea that we just did that. And I went, and there you go. If you're always here and you're always ready to do the job, don't let one little thing blow you out of the water. I didn't get to that. I didn't do. No, it's okay. But we're going to be just fine. It'll be okay. But that was one of the things I laughed about. I'm a preparation guy too. I was as a player. I am as a broadcaster. You know, these mornings, first thing I do, I get up, I get on my computer. If there's one thing that I have to have during a broadcast, we do have a coffee maker in the booth. We never used to. Now we do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's always coffee. God bless Paul Zaring, our great engineer.
Amen.
You know, he goes, I walk in and I'm like, Paulie, where did this? And he just gives me the look like, I got it. Throat coat, there's coffee, there, you know, all the necessities of life as a broadcaster.
He's
the best.
That is the secret realm. If you are ever on press level and you're like, I need something, Paul has it. Paul has it ready for you guys. And if you're nice enough to Paul, he might share it with you. Just in case.
He's a 10. Hey, man. You know, and he really is.
That your booth is so warm and so welcoming. Some of my favorite memories, Coom, are like rain delays. You got to go be somewhere. I know where I want to be.
Yeah,
and you go and you hang out a little bit. Was it always that way? Did you and Pat have to, like, you know, get to a spot where you're that comfortable with people coming in?
No, I've always been the guy that I have a lot of friends in our game. And if they're in town, they're welcome in the booth. And you being one of them, I always say, come on up. You know, you and your wife have been up many times. I'm just like, we have a rain delay. There's nothing wrong with hanging out in the booth and having a good conversation about music, about the game, about you name it. We've got it all going on. And, you know, when you're – Pat's been doing this for 40 years. I've been in baseball now 38 years. I've been in the big leagues for 30 straight years now. Wow. You know, whether playing or broadcasting. So, you know, you get a lot of friends, and that's a great time. And the booth is one of those places, man, where you can say what you want. We're not on the air. You can see your friends, and, you know, it's great. You can have a cup of coffee and hang out, and, you know, it's our time. That's the way I look at it, and it's fun.
You used to do an inning of full play-by-play.
Correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that before Zach came in? Is that correct. Is that when you used to do the full inning? How many years did you do the full inning, to your knowledge?
I think two. I did two.
Mm-hmm.
And the second year we were going to the playoffs, I think it was, I did one. I think I did one. The 16 season, I did an inning.
Yeah.
And then.
It's good year.
We're going. Yeah, it was a really good year. And then Len Casper came to me in August and was really kind of, you know, and Lenny's a great friend of both of ours. And he is, you know.
Yeah.
And he came to me and he asked me if he could join our broadcast during October. And I looked at him and, you know, I knew from doing playoff baseball in Minnesota that the TV play-by-play and analyst, their job's over. You know, it's national games now. And I could never understand how you wouldn't want to be a part of what's going on. You've been with the team all season and now you're out. I'm like, so when Lenny asked me, I was like, absolutely. 100% yes. He goes, I'll be your stat guy. I'll do whatever. You know, I'll go down on the field and get interviews. To me, it just made the most sense, man, in the world. And I don't know who brought this up first, if he did or I did. It has no relevance, really. But if he was going to be on our broadcast, me doing the fifth inning or Lenny doing the fifth inning, it put us in the right chairs, if you know what I mean.
I do.
Right? I wasn't going to do playoff baseball justice being in the play-by-play chair with the Hall of Famer taking an inning off and Lenny trying to support me. Wrong. Not good. Me being the analyst and Lenny doing play-by-play, however we came to that conclusion, I was 100% good with it.
And joining us now from Cubs television, like he will throughout the entire postseason, it's Lenny Casper.
Hey, Mark, nice to be with you. What a night here at Wrigley Field. And the only guy between first and second is Brandon Belt. And Baez flares one the other way into right for a base hit. That's a two-out single for Baez and only the Cubs' second hit of the night. And it'll give David Ross an opportunity.
Well, I like the approach by Baez as he takes his fastball, waits on it. No stride either, Len. That's the other thing. He got rid of the late kick there and just shot that ball the other way. And now really, there's only been two really hard hit balls by the Cubs. One was David Ross, and it was a great play by Hernandez in left center field, diving on the track.
Do you think Baez might consider running here? The Cubs have not had many chances, only their second base runner.
They definitely might. Baez with a good lead now at first, and Cueto steps off. I think he heard you.
And I just thought it made sense. And then him and I, it clicked, you know. And he was a great partner. He's a great friend. He was great during the playoff time. And then he had the key moment of Cubs winning the World Series. He's down doing the interviews, which was, you know, as good as, I mean, every one of our players, you know, we're all together every day, day after day after day. To have Lenny down there was awesome. You know, it just really was.
Man, that I'd never realized how that came together. You know, somebody asked me the other day for my favorite moment ever in radio. I mean, like having the opportunity, I was standing behind you guys when they won the thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Len Casper down on the field, but you guys were right there, the opportunity to watch. I mean, that's what do you remember about, you know, it could be either the finish or like a broadcast moment. If there is there a moment from doing that game, it's one of the legendary games of all time.
We had, there were a few moments. I remember going, I was good all day before game seven. I really was. I had some friends at the ballpark who were broadcasting with other teams, Jack Morris being one of them. You know, and he's a buddy, and we love to give it to each other pretty good. And so we did that in the dugout, so that kind of lightened the atmosphere for all of us that day, being in the dugout way before game time. Just hanging out and doing your daily prep, doing the Joe's show, all good. And then we got inside we were getting close to doing pregame. And I was like, I kept looking down at my scorebook, and at the top of it, I just, game seven is all that I wrote on. I'm like, Pat had his normal, stuff on the side of his scorebook, and I didn't want anything to confuse, to have any other topic other than this is game seven of the World Series. That was my thought. And then I remember Mitch Rosen, our executive producer, who's a great friend, standing right behind Pat and I. And as we're maybe a minute to going on, he gave us each a hug. That scared the out of me. He's like, oh my God. I'm like, Jesus, no. Oh my God. I was like, oh good God. Now I'm like, oh good. Now all the nerves, boom, they're basically like, don't screw this up, I was like, oh God, here we go. Okay. And Pat kicks it off. He throws to me. We do our banter back and forth. It was great. And then a couple pitches in, then it was a baseball game again. Then we were good. Then I was like, oh, I'm in my happy space now. I'm good. All this other stuff. I'm okay. Yeah. And I remember, Fowler, home run. I remember David's home run. The one thing that drove me absolutely crazy, that two pitches before the Davis home run, I had said as he came to the plate, the only pitch you can't throw him is a slider down and in. That's the one pitch that he can do damage on to the pull side and hit the ball out of the ballpark. If you pitch him away, he can hit a double, but it's not going to tie the game. Three pitches into the at-bat, four pitches into the at-bat, slider down and in, home run. And I smacked my microphone out from in front of my face because what was coming out was not good.
David Ross, the catcher, flashes a sign out to Chapman. Really getting hard to hear yourself think. Cubs 6, Indians 4, 2 down, bottom of the 8th inning. And the 2-2 pitch from Chapman. Davis drives with a deep left down the line in the corner. That ball is a home run. The ball game is tied 6-6. Rajay Davis, a line drive home run right down the line and left. And these fans are going wild.
It's a fastball down and in. Chapman had thrown the cutter to the pitch before. It got fouled off. He came back down and in. Davis just drops the head of the bat on it and hit a line drive bullet down the left field line. The high wall is the only thing that the Cubs are hoping for because it's only 325 down the line.
But the wall is 19 feet high. It just cleared the wall. Ball game tied at 6. Coco Crisp shows bunt, takes outside. Chapman has given up a double and a two-run home run.
Hi, I'm Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. And this is our biggest sale ever. Buy a new air conditioner or furnace and get 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Plus, Four Seasons guarantees to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000, guaranteed. Call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBnetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Now the 1-0 to Crisp. Line drive, base hit, left field. Chapman not fooling anybody.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, those words were very much, back to the neighborhood, Ron, of hanging out. That wasn't good. Yeah, those words, you know. Getting called out on strikes and not agreeing with the umpire. Those are the words that were coming out then. Yeah. We don't want those on the air.
and how about after the rain delay and the Zobrist moment with the double down the line to give them the lead.
Tie game, 10th inning, one down, the pitch. Ground ball to third, base hit down the left field line. The go-ahead run will score. The ball is backhanded by Guyer. Rizzo goes to third. Double for Zobrist. Cubs lead 7-6.
You talk about a big plate appearance for the Chicago Cubs. Zobrist against Shaw, a backdoor cutter, and Zoe shoots it down the third base line after protecting the plate, shoots it down the line. A run scores Almora. Rizzo to third. And it comes with second and third and only one out and a run in the 10th inning.
There were two hits that happened. The Zobrist base hit down the line, right? That double. Mm-hmm. And the Miguel Montero base hit. I thought, you know, we're so locked into doing things. First of all, I thought Pat set the – I mean, it's – you could cut it with a knife, as you know, the tension,
yep.
You know, so it was incredibly tense. And him in his way of just being so smooth and relaxed. And I know he's a ball of nerves too. He's never done this before. And then me trying to make sure that nothing happened on the field. And I remember watching Ramirez move at third base. And they moved him from the dugout 3 feet one way, and the ball went right where he was standing.
Man.
And I remember saying, Ramirez has just moved. He's moved over. They're expecting this to happen. And sure enough, the very next pitch, wham, right past him, base hit.
Wow.
And that changes the course of life as we know it, if you're a Cub fan, you know. And it was unbelievable. But I just thought, you know, I remember the last thing I remember that was key for me in being a partner and being an analyst is moving the microphone out of my face when the Cubs won, just so you didn't step on Pat's call.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time, and the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs come pouring out of the dugout, jumping up and down like a bunch of delirious 10-year-olds. The Cubs have done it.
The last thing I wanted to do was say, because you know it's coming out. You're ready to burst, right? I mean, it's coming. And you just can't hold back, but you don't want that to be on the air because it had never been said on the air that the Cubs have just won the World Series, right? If that had never been something that was said and you didn't want to be, have that thing happen, you know, and
yeah.
So I moved the microphone, literally. I moved it physically out of my face so I didn't, and I, you know, and we had some things we had to do also, you know, that when you do that, there was some sponsor things that had to be done, and that's part of it, right? It's all part of it. But here you're yelling and screaming and crying, and you're like, you know, and you're like, but there's still work to be done. You still got to do this thing, and so it was really cool. His call of that was just really cool. I could listen to that. Yep.
I got a keychain. I got a keychain with that call on there somewhere.
And Pat would say, thank you very much, Matty.
you guys, I heard you the other day. It was a read for Bosch, and it was Pat goes, the more you Bosch, the more you want a Bosch, or something like that. And
the more you feel like a Bosch,
the more you feel like a Bosch. Paused and he said, "That's good writing."
You know, he said something to me the other day about it. He goes, he said it over the air, just kind of let it hang, right? He goes, and Ron's over there boshing, right, Ron? And I'm like, I'm like, I don't know where the hell he's going with this, but this is a moment. Here we go. I go, Pat, if you can tell me what boshing is, I'll agree with you, but I'm not quite sure.
I just know that you're doing it, and you're doing it well.
Right, okay. Yeah, great. Okay.
I want to close with this. Give me the best piece of advice that you got that you'd like to pass on. I'd like to ask it in two parts, I guess. One mechanically in terms of doing the gig, although you've given us a lot already, you know, but if there's something mechanical. And then just in terms of an overall career, something that you'd like to share with people.
I think the mechanics of it, if you're the analyst, pay very close attention to your partner. Don't get caught up in what you want to say all the time. Get caught up in listening and being the guy that can listen to your partner. You still have time to say what you want, but understand that the listeners are listening to him and expecting that conversation and you to be a part of what he just said. And I think understanding that with Pat, because he's so good at what he does, and you know, listening is like, it's not easy to do all the time because you get immersed sometimes in your own wanting to get out what you want to get out.
Yeah.
It's not always the best thing. Listen to your partner, understand his rhythm. It took me a little while to understand Pat's rhythm, but when you do listen, boy, and then all of a sudden it flows, like, you know, it just flows and it sounds real easy and it's not. That's the one thing I would say as an analyst, because if you're in that point where you're the analyst, you know the game, or you know what you're doing, what's going on out there. So relax. You'll be able to get your time to say what you need to say.
Listen.
That's one.
And then in terms of an overall career,
The other thing that I got great advice from a guy in Minnesota, broadcaster, show host, Mike Max was his name. I just retired, and I was kind of seeing what was out there for me as a broadcaster. Wanted to manage, but still checking it all out. We went to lunch and with their executive producer at WCCO and Mike, who is a friend. And great broadcaster, great guy, great sports guy. And he said, you need to be the same guy that you were as a player. And I just thought that was okay. You know, like the words of wisdom. I'm like, yeah, okay. He goes, athletes do not do that. You don't put the same effort in to broadcasting as you did as a player. And you don't show up. And I thought, wow. I was like insulted. You know, literally, I was. I was like, you know, if I say I'm going to be somewhere, there's, you know, I'm going to be there. And I'm going to be ready to do the job. And I mean, that's the work ethic of, you know, Ron Coomer Sr. going, your butt's going to be there and you're going to be ready to work. So I've always prided myself on being a good partner, work ethic, and doing that. And to me, doing a lot of work. If you're new in this industry, get all the reps you can get. Don't, you know, I remember doing for Fox, we did a pregame show at a high school football pregame, you know, before a football game that we were going to broadcast on the air on Fox. And it was a huge game. And Joe Mauer's quarterback, you know, and he's doing all this as a high school kid. Mm-hmm. And they said, would you be the sideline reporter for the football game? And I went, you know, I'm Mr. Baseball guy, you know, the head of our station at Fox said, he goes, Ron, every kid in that stadium is going to know who you are. They're going to love you being there. And the coaches, who are both Hall of Fame type high school coaches, are going to love that you're there. Right. I mean, you know, And I thought about it for a second, because at first I was like, I don't think so. And then I thought, expand your horizons a little bit. You know, come on, do the interviews of the coaches and the best players and do it for football. So I was, that hit me then. Do different things. Get yourself out of your comfort zone a little bit, but work. Don't be too big for the work.
Yeah.
Do it, because it's going to help you eventually. It's going to benefit you. And I have always kind of had that thought in the back of my mind. It's like, yeah, dude, the more reps you get in this business, the better off you're going to be. I would think, you know, in your shows, right? Are you a much better broadcaster now than you were 15 years ago?
Of course. And a lot of it is because I say yes to stuff and just try to do stuff and expand the horizons. And that's what I tell young broadcasters 100% of the time. You know, you never know what you're going to learn, and you never know who you're going to meet, what relationships you might start with.
The cool about our business that I, you know, being a baseball player has put me in contact with other players, other broadcasters, things that I have other interests in outside of baseball, like music, as you know. You know, there's nothing I like doing better in the offseason than going to a concert. I'll turn down tickets to a ball game or any kind of game every day of the week, but a good Springsteen show, where do I got to be? I'll fly across the country. I'll be there. I'll be there. You know, Eddie playing somewhere. Pearl Jam's playing. Yep. We can go. We're all gone. Let's go. Yeah, I'm in. Yep. Sorry, I can't be there. Sorry, honey, I'm getting up early. I'm flying to Seattle. That's the way it goes. That's what I would do. You know, and that's the fun of doing what we do, and you know, the experiences and the people we've been able to be around.
Coom, you're the best. Thanks so much for doing this, man. A lot of people are going to learn a lot of things from here. So appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate it, Matty. It's nice of you. I look forward to having you back in our booth here coming up soon, bud.
Me back in the booth? Yes, please. Be still, my heart. Be still, my little kid play-by-play dreaming heart. That guy, Coomer, in his parlance, is a 10. Makes me realize, this conversation does, how much depth there is in potential episodes with other analysts. So I've got ideas cooking. If you've got ideas, you can always get in touch with me. As always, you can tweet me at Matt Spiegs, S-P-I-E-G-S. And you can email me. This Thursday, you know, it's going to be another spot starter episode with the PBP top 5 highlights of the week. The suggestions have been rolling in. That's really fun. Be a part of the offense. Keep your submissions coming by emailing me, pbptop5@gmail.com. You spell out the number 5, pbptop5@gmail.com, and tweet me at Matt Spiegs. Our producer is Robbie Triano. Our producer emeritus is Ryan Porth. My collaborator is, and has always been, James Vickery. The music comes from Kurt Morrison, my guy, of Tributosaurus. This is an Odyssey podcast. Find us on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcast, in partnership with Major League Baseball. And you can find us on our YouTube page, where you can see the PBP Top 5 in all its visual glory. Thanks for listening to the PBP, Voices of Baseball. We bring you the people that bring you the game.